This is Tofu Dave, your community radio host, with another edition of Between the Covers, a literature quickie here on WCOM LPFM Chapel Hill, Ann Carber. Today I'm going to talk about a book that's a wonderful, stunning photography and textbook, Dolly Parton, 100 Remarkable Moments in an Extraordinary Life by Tracy Laird. Tracy, are you on the line?
I am. Hi, Tofu Dave. Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, you know, this book is wonderful, and you seem so knowledgeable about not only Dolly, of course, but country music in general. Let me just hop right in here. I noticed that one of the things you mention in your book is that Dolly Parton was on the Grand Ole Opry at only 13 years old. Now, would you happen to know if that's the youngest person ever to be on the Opry, or if there's been somebody younger to appear on the Grand Ole Opry?
Gosh, Tofu Dave, that's a really good question. I actually don't know that. You know, I wonder, I mean, the first person that pops into my head when I think of, well, who else could have been on there younger? But I'm going to step into territory that I'm not comfortable. But
dangerous.
I think about Brenda. Yeah, dangerous territory, because I'm talking about something I don't know anything about. But I know that Dolly Parton looked up to Brenda Lee a lot, and I, you know, she would be a candidate for someone who could have been. I know she recorded quite young. I don't know about when she, you know, began to or first appeared on the Opry. Probably it wasn't that, because she was in a rock and roll sort of space when she first emerged onto the scene. But yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
You know, later history after Dolly, it might have been, and I'm just going to take a wild guess also, Alison Krauss, maybe.
Yeah.
She also got a start very young in bluegrass, and Dolly Parton, I believe, was one of her heroines musically growing up. And I heard Alison Krauss at a bluegrass festival when she must have been, 10 or 11 years old. And I don't know exactly when she first performed at the Opry, but there's a chance there, too. She's another
young female star.
Well,
and there's also, you know, there's a tradition of young prodigies in bluegrass and other kinds of, you know, string traditions that would be happening around that whole region. And I can't remember the name of the family off the top of my head, but there was one of the 100 extraordinary moments was Dolly appearing on the Carol on a CBS television special with Carol Burnett, and it was the two of them. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that they featured in that show was this kind of it was a shtick where Carol Burnett is playing the banjo very badly, and then people in the audience, they had planted well-known Nashville musicians in the audience because they were filming the special at the Grand Ole Opry. And toward the end, there's this little boy who's probably 6 at the time, who is a string band prodigy and a member of a family whose name has escaped me right this minute. It's in the book, Tofu Day. But anyway, he comes up and you know, is completely killing it. So it's, you know, somebody like that whose name is not maybe at the top of your mind, but there's probably that precedent.
Well, that gets into her impact on country music, bluegrass. I mean, she's just, to me, had such an impact on the culture of this country. Can you talk about that a little bit? And so many later artists look up to Dolly Parton as a influence or a role model in certain senses. What about that? Is that true?
Well, absolutely. And part of the challenge with a question like that is sort of, you know, how do you slice it off in terms of her influence and the ways that people kind of lift her up as a model, you know, for what they want to be or, you know, what they would strive for? Because, I mean, early on, she's a songwriter, and she's her early songs. I mean, her songs throughout her life, but a lot of what's not, people get distracted when they talk about Dolly Parton by, you know, other sort of surface features of her whole persona.
Mm-hmm.
But her, if you just look at her songwriting, it's a tremendous body of really powerful songs. So you could think about it that way. And then in the 70s, she made a conscious decision that she wanted to reach a larger audience. She tried doing an album that was, I think it was self-produced. It didn't do as well as she would have liked, so she decided to bring in some California producers. So that, like, around the time, it's before 9 to 5, around the time of probably 78, and Here You Come Again, and Two Doors Down, those big hits, are her making a conscious decision that she writes songs she loves to perform, and she wants to reach a larger audience than at the time. You know, country music now is a huge business, but in the early 70s, big hit like Jolene. It was very small. I mean, Jolene was a number one country hit, and I think it sold like 60,000. You know, and that wasn't the numbers that she wanted.
Right.
She wanted a million selling. So there's that, and then she gets into doing Hollywood, doing television, doing sort of expanding, and then she gets into business and investments, and then she gets into philanthropy. So it's like, which part of her tremendous creativity that just seems to be boundless would you want to slice off at any given moment to talk about all that she's accomplished, and then how people admire her, how she's influenced people?
A good point, because we should also mention, of course, there's Dollywood, which a lot of people have heard about, but what a lot of people don't seem to know about is also her nonprofit work, her literacy campaign, where I believe in Sevierville, the county she's from, if not in all of Tennessee, she made a promise to, I think, make sure that every school kid in elementary school got books to read. And
yeah.
That's a big deal.
Oh, it's a huge deal. Well, and so that started, you know, her part of her story is that the poverty that she grew up in, but she had a loving household. Her father never learned to read. And so when she started the Imagination Library, it was a partnership with her father, and their goal was, and it was birth to 5 years old. So every child in the county of Sevierville, or probably Sevier County, is the name of the, I think Sevierville is the town, Sevier County.
Yep.
Is the name of the county. Every child between birth and 5 years old would receive a book a month. And then it expanded to the next county. And then it expanded to Tennessee. And then it has kept growing and growing. And now it's in five different countries. And
wow.
It's all over, you know, the United States and Canada. And it's, you know, it's just a thing that continues to grow. And part of the way it happens is it's partnerships with local communities. So, you know, if you wanted to start it in your county, you would find an organization that was willing to commit to, I think it's $2 per book, and doing local fundraising. But then all the administrative costs and the mailing costs and getting the books to the children are done from the foundation itself. So it's a really amazing partnership that has a core, but also involves getting a lot of other people involved in every community where this takes root. And it's been going on so long that it's been going on long enough. Let's pause. It's been going on long enough that people have now studied where communities where this happens, our literacy rates improved, and the results have shown that it actually has a measurable impact on literacy rates.
And I can tell you from personal experience, that's true. I have family that used to live a couple counties over from Sevier County, and let me tell you that reading stuff really worked. It's amazing. Look, let's turn to something else and get back to the music a little bit. And I have to do this with you because you know a lot more about Dolly's career than I do. Could you give me a take on your personal view? And I'll admit this is an unfair question, but what's your favorite song that Dolly Parton ever wrote and performed? What would you pick as number one?
Well, and this is a question that probably has a different answer depending on when you might ask me, right?
Right, what the day is like.
Yeah, because it's a different answer of like which song runs through my head more. Probably the first thing that comes to my mind is the song "Everything Is Beautiful" in its own way. And part of it is that there's a great story behind it. It's a song that she wrote very early in her career and didn't record for a while, but recorded it after she left home. So she wrote it before she left home. She recorded it once she got to Nashville, but it wasn't released. That's the way it wasn't released for 5 years. There's another song that has the same title, "Everything Is Beautiful in Its Own Way," that mm-hmm. is a different song that was a huge hit in 1971, I think it was, for Ray Stevens. And it just so happens that Ray Stevens was the producer in the studio when she recorded her song.
Wow.
And so I think, yeah, and it makes you scratch your head. I mean, at one point, Dolly has said in some of her memoirs, you know, it gives you an idea of what a young woman had to go up against in terms of making her way. But the song, in contrast to the Ray Stevens, I mean, I enjoy the Ray Stevens song, don't get me wrong, but it's very straightforward in terms of the sentiment and the way it's put together and what it's putting down. Dolly's song that has the same title starts with this very, like, and this is what she does in her songwriting, very highly descriptive, specific details that through very few words evoke, you know, a scene or evoke a feeling. And so she starts off describing nature or a green field of clover and a sunset. And that's the first part of the song. And then the second part of the song, she talks about a storm and the clouds. One of the quotes is, "Clouds form a black summer windstorm that uproots the," these are her words, "uproots the harvest and hurls it away." And then she says, "In the midst of such anger, destruction, and danger, the storm's even beautiful in its own way." And so, you know, in that very short period of a song, it's one of the reasons why that song came to mind, because I think it just encapsulates all that she is capable of, and how she sees the world, right? That she does, she's not blind to its difficulties, and neither is she blind to its joys, and she's able to frame it all as sort of beautiful in a, you know, a deep human sense of what it means to be alive. And the song came out to little notice. I think it was 73. It was on an album, and it didn't get a lot of attention. But then she re-recorded the song with Willie Nelson in the 70s. Pretty sure that's
I think
right.
You're right, and that's when it sort of blew up.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I love that.
Yeah. Tracy Laird, the author of Dolly Parton 100 Remarkable Moments in an Extraordinary Life. Tracy, I could go on talking to you for a while, but we're running out of time here on Between the Covers, a Literature Quickie with Tofu Dave on Community Radio. So I'll just let you make any last comments you want to tell our local Chapel Hill Carborough listeners about at this point.
Yeah, I guess, gosh, it's hard to wrap up such a topic as Dolly. I think that, you know, recent years, one of the things that she has been lifted up for has to do with her appeal across so many divides in our country and, you know, people of all walks of life. And in fact, the publishers of this book, I think one of that was one of the reasons they wanted to write this book about Dolly. They were trying to think of a person. They actually had a predecessor to the book about Betty White, and it did well. And they were like, well, who else does everyone love? But I think it's worth pausing over, you know, that fact and why that is. And the fact that if you look at her life, she has a quality of constancy that never wavers. And the things that are constant have to do with her kindness, her love and tolerance for other human beings, whether they are different from her or not, and her creativity. And all of that she wraps in a sense of her spiritual center. But I think that is something that is an important way in which she is an important model in our world right now. Of, you know, letting other people do their thing if it's not interfering with your thing, and then doing your thing despite whatever criticisms people might, you know, come your way. I think that's, besides her music and through her music, those are the kind of things that I think are worth tucking away in all of our hearts.
Wow. Thank you, Tracy Laird. Words to keep with us and think about. Dolly Parton, 100. Remarkable moments in an extraordinary life. This is Tofu Dave, your host on Between the Covers Literature Quickie. Please join me next week on WCOM LPFM Chapel Hill and Carver for another edition.